now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to The Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Sashita. Sashita returns to The Cosmic Switchboard Show to talk about her reptilian and military experiences. Sashita has a lot of information to share. We will have all of her bio information on our website as well as our dedicated YouTube channel. So without any further ado, Sashita, welcome back to The Cosmic Switchboard.
Thank you so much, James. You know I love chatting with you, and thanks so much for welcoming me back.
The pleasure is all ours. We need this kind of information because what we see going on in the surface world is merely a reflection of what's going on in the hidden realms, what's going on really behind the scenes, where the non-human beings are the ones actually pulling the levers and making the humans and the human hybrids kind of dance to their tune. So what better person to have back during this critical period of human history than yourself? So please, you've got the floor, Sashita. Tell us what you'd like to talk about. Tell us what's important to you at this moment.
So now that I've sort of been able to move out of it today, I thought it might be interesting if we talk about, you know, the business about what you refer to as the deep black ops and, you know, the underground military sort of situation and the kinds of experiences that you have and the training that goes in that, you know, and my personal experience and how it sort of developed for me, because obviously the feedback I give you and the guidance and assistance I provide is based on my experience and the kinds of interactions that I had. So that helps keep it in context, I think. So, yeah, that, I thought that that might be interesting for you today. What did you think?
Absolutely. Let's hear it. Tell us whatever you feel you want to talk about first, be it the training, be it the rep connection to it, the reptilian connection to the training. Please, Sashita, you have the floor.
First thing that sort of comes to mind now that you've sort of said it like that is that you'll know that you're taking part in military sort of environments and experiences when you have had the dream interference and you know that there's some kind of other being that you're dealing with. You may have even seen them. And then you start having the sleep deprivation techniques. Now, this can all seem quite vague in the beginning, but what you'll always find is that you'll wake up at 0131 every night for, say, 3 or 4 nights in a row. Then you might be 0131 followed by 0302, okay? And that will begin to happen sort of every night. Then they'll start with the dreams, or what you think are dreams. Some of them may be dreams, some of them may not be. And you'll wake up feeling frightened, potentially, a presence having had been in your room. And, you know, for those of you that there are people, you know, that are more, and I don't like to say more aware than others, because I don't like this whole boxing of people being enlightened and asleep and all the rest of it. But what I want to say is that if you're new to the spiritual world, people call it the spiritual world, okay? And I want to address that right now. It's not, okay? All it is other creatures and other beings, and they're made in different ways, and they're in different dimensions and things like that, okay? It's not like a whole other world. It just feels like it to us because they're made a different way, and they interact on a different level, and we can't necessarily see them from inside of our carrier, our body, our vehicle, right? So we're limited to what we can perceive, okay? But they are still all interacting with us. And, you know, religion and philosophy and all these other things, they've created what we call the spiritual world and their spirits potentially and all the rest of it. So when I say that, that's what I mean for those people, okay? I happen to think of it differently, but I'm saying it like that because most people relate to that, okay? So for those of you that, you know, aren't used to dealing with the spiritual world, what will happen is that you wake up and you feel the need to get a little deeper under your bed covers and everything feels cold and you feel uncertain about your space. Okay, it doesn't feel quite like it's yours and you can't necessarily put words to it. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and another inkling will be that when you do walk around your house, you just don't like that spare room. There's something about that spare room and you want to shut the door. Okay. Now that's when you know that something else has been residing in your space and you've relinquished control of your space. Okay. And there's something to be said about having control and maintaining leadership of your own personal space, your own body, and all the rest of it. And you know, James, that I'm very big on this, on people taking responsibility and accountability and ownership of their own space, beliefs, actions, personal self, and all the rest of it. Okay, even though it might have happened by accident, we are still accountable for that stuff. It belongs to us, okay? And we can't give that up so easily. So if you're feeling those slight beginning things, you know that that's what's happened. And I feel like, having said that, I should probably address how to get your space back. Should I do that?
Yes, please.
Okay, so when you're feeling like that, and you're in your bed and you think, maybe I don't really want to get out of it. Everything seems a bit cold and I'm uncertain and I don't know what's out there and the shadows don't look quite normal. The first thing you need to do is get up and just remember that you are in a different form. And one of the biggest things that these creatures like to do is to trick you into thinking that they can somehow affect you physically in the form you're currently in. And it's not necessarily the case. So usually when they're affecting someone, it's because they're changing their makeup, okay? So they can deconstruct you in a way. And there's a reason why you might be able to pass through your ceiling and be aware at the time, okay? Because we all know we're not physical on an intellectual level. We are aware of that, okay? Some more than others, all right? But I personally have woken up halfway through the roof of my house, tied to a rope that is attached to a helicopter above my roof, okay? That's a true story. And when I woke up, obviously I thought that I was physical again, yeah? And what I mean by wake up is when I became conscious, okay? And so then I became physical and I got stuck in the roof. So then we had to relax me again so that I could become or what would you call it, James? Just like free-flowing particles.
More ethereal, let's say.
Yeah. And then I was able to pass through my roof properly, okay? So they change your form, and that's when they can start to manipulate you. But it's much more difficult for them. Well, I mean, I haven't had anyone be able to do it to me in my physical form, personally, anyway. I know that they're there, and the most they can do is paralyze me. And you see, that paralysis is what leads to the next step of actually being able to deconstruct you, okay, and then actually do something to you. So I mean, yes, they can enter your body and that kind of thing, but I'm talking about, you know, mark you, harm you physically, remove a limb, all that kind of thing. So just be aware that when they're there, they're more powerless than they would have you believe. Okay, so get up out of your bed, force yourself to do it, go turn on the lights, all the lights if that's what it takes. Just don't rely on that, though, because you don't want to have to do that all the time, because what if the lights don't work? What if they make them not work? Because that has happened to me, okay? And then you don't have to say it out loud. Some people it works, okay, but you need to say something that reclaims ownership of your space. Now, I remember when I was working in hotels as a housemaid, I had these things following me around. I didn't know what they were at the time. And what they would do was, you know, you have those little clock radios and you have to push the slider over to make them work. And they kept doing that and turning off my vacuum cleaner and all this kind of thing and opening and closing doors. And it was just all a bit ridiculous, right? And I was a little bit frightened. And then I just became annoyed. And I screamed at them. And, you know, I was brought up in a Christian household. So I just used the terminology that I knew at the time that came naturally, but this isn't what you have to use and it's not what I would use now. And I just said, get the fuck away from me in Jesus' name. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And it worked immediately. Everything stopped. Everybody left. Done, finished. Now, I don't know what everyone else in the hotel, I mean, it was a 4.5-star property. I don't know what everyone else thought or if anyone even heard it or if that had all been secluded by these creatures, you know, but that's how I did it. And nowadays, I'm more advanced, obviously, and, you know, I reclaim, I mean, it doesn't happen to me, but say like, you know, a year ago, if I would wake up and feel uncertain, I would reclaim it upon waking. And I would be like, you know, this is me, this is mine. And it didn't have to be words because now it was a feeling, a powerful force that would come from me and fill my space. and nothing else can exist in it, you know. And nowadays it doesn't happen at all. But those are the, I hope that's helpful to someone out there. I hope it doesn't come across as too, you know, bitsy or detached. But yeah, that reclaiming of your space is so important because that shows power and leadership. And when you're dealing with creatures like reptilians, that's what they understand and respond to, power and leadership. That's everything to them. And, you know, as much as we might ridicule them and say they have a hive mind, you know, we're kind of the same because in theory, we should all be able to do telepathy. In theory, we are the universe, so we should all be able to hear and understand everything. And, you know, the more you become aware of that fact, the more you are able to take ownership and be your space and be the universe in that moment and be fully present in that moment and be in control in that moment. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely it does. Please continue.
You've had those sort of initial things and, you know, you might be dealing with the sleep deprivation and you'll have the dreams about, you know, the world ending and what you're supposed to do. So I've had dreams, you know, where basically at some point in Australia, I don't know if this is true or not, but they start putting everybody on trains and because we get the newer trains that they can't escape out of and they take them out into the desert, police all go on there and shoot all the occupants. And then they have this great big machine with tooth claws, you know, the ones that they use to crush metal cars and things.
Yes.
It picks them up, crushes the carriages and puts them in these great big metal bins. And that's rolling off and I don't know, deconstructed somewhere else with all the bodies still inside. Okay. So, and throughout that, I was taught who to leave behind, how to maneuver around, and I was shown where the tracks went and all that kind of business. Now, I happen to work on the railway a lot of the time, and I was always very grateful for that when I first got in because I, as silly as it sounds, I always thought at the very beginning, at least I'll know when they do it. And that was before I'd even had these dreams, okay? I just thought, I'm glad that I work in this industry because at least I'll know when they do it, whatever it was, you know? So there's always, you know, people that are having these kinds of experiences, there's usually a reason why, okay? You know, they've got some kind of history and you know, and usually, and I wasn't really too sold on James when you were telling people that, you know, it's because you've got a military background. And I'm like, you know, my family, we don't have a military background. And interestingly, last year in October, I met my uncle for about the second or third time in my life, and he sat down and told me how he was in the Navy and how he caught a Russian spy in New Zealand, and he was telling me all this fascinating story, and you know how he's been involved in the military, and then he just stopped and he looked at me and he said, oh, and they've been watching you your entire life, by the way.
Really?
That's what he said. Yes, that's what he said. And that's just off the back of me finally getting rid of them and all the helicopters and being dragged around different places and undertaking all these different missions and everything like that, you know, and you know, dealing with the reps and everything like that, which I was so thankful for having the reps. And I know, you know, they get a bad rap and everything, but they really were my protectors. And if it wasn't for them, humans, I got to tell you guys, humans are some of the most atrocious creatures you will ever meet out there. They really are. Just the things that they were up to was just abominable, and I just, it's a real shame. It's a real, real shame. And I mean, you know, it's like that, and I've said this before, there's, you know, good and bad in every creature, you know, every species, but and you know, there's good reps too, and you know, and by good I just mean more considerate and thoughtful and aware and present, and you know, and it's the same with people. But some of the worst experiences I ever had, you know, I had two negative reptilian experiences, and the rest were all via humans. So yeah, so okay, so you've gone through those processes. They've got the sleep deprivation, and you'll know that it's specific deprivation, okay, because it's the times. Now they'll let you know. So it's different to you just waking up a couple of times at 01:30 and then getting a fright because you've woken up at 01:30. So your body does it naturally the following night. This is something that will go on for 3 or 4 out of 7 nights for weeks on end, okay? And then the dreams. Now, you'll know that they're not dreams because the thing is you're going to wake up incredibly fatigued. So they're going to wake you up at 01:31 or whenever it is, whatever the special number is for you, And then they're going to put you through exercises because they have to disrupt your sleep and then put you straight back into a deep sleep to get you into a state, some kind of REM state, whatever it is, that is most ideal for absorption of new information and for reactivity. And then they'll start putting you through your paces. You'll get to learn whether or not you're watching a screen or whether you're actually taking part. Okay. And you'll know if you're taking part because you come back and your clothes are on backwards or you've got marks or whatever, and all that kind of business. And you'll be able to tell if you were taking part in a different body as well, or whether you're doing remote viewing and all these kinds of things. It takes practice. Okay. But there are certain things to look for. And often you'll know if you're just watching a screen and they're sort of working at how you're responding to that. So through your mind, you'll be projecting onto the like movie screen in front of you, and you'll usually be in some kind of theater, okay? And you'll be projecting what your character does in those situations. Are you familiar with this, James?
Yes, I've gone through something like that before, a number of times,
cool.
Actually.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. So, and you know, they'll have you hooked up to different wiring or whatever, and you'll be, you know, reenacting whatever they want you to do up on the screen in whatever given situation, because this is training your mind and your reflexes, your mental reflexes. Yeah. So now you will know, sometimes it can be hard to work out whether you had that experience or whether you were viewing it on a screen. Now you'll always know if you were viewing it on a screen because you will always have that nagging memory of the silhouette of someone next to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the dark shadows, outlines of people, yes, in the rows in front of you too.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. In my case, I was always alone in these situations, bar the one or two either side of me, okay?
Yeah. Just to interject, it was like that with me too. Sometimes I'd be entirely alone in a theater or maybe one or two presences there, and sometimes there were more people, but it just varied.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's how you know with that kind of thing. Now, with the other, there's so many different games that they play, and they all sort of revolve around death and competition. But and you'll generally know if you're in another body, and they do put you into some kind of other body. And you know, there's no real way of knowing exactly how this works. But I've been on so many missions where I've done everything perfectly. I've, you know, eliminated all these targets. And then we come back to this dark room, and we all sit in a circle, and there's myself and a whole lot of other hitmen. And I remember the last time, which was a few months ago, I sat there, and the leader, he was just so triumphant, and I had eliminated the last target with the assistance of someone else. They gave me a tip, and I eliminated that target. Now, that wasn't against the rules. It wasn't stipulated in the rules either way. But he decided, he'd been trying to get me for a while, and he decided that was the reason why today I would die. And I remember sitting there, and he walked through the center of the circle of us, and we're all just sitting on chairs, like fold-out chairs, black fold-out chairs. And he, you know, like the ones that would have been in a theater, you know, when you go to a theater and there's not enough rows of seats, and they sometimes get the black chairs that the ushers sit on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're sitting on those, and he came over, and he was so triumphant, and he put the gun to the top of my head, just above my forehead. And I looked at him initially, and then I thought, you know what, I'm not going to give him the pleasure of watching the life fade out of my eyes. And so I just I looked away, looked down slightly, like straight ahead, and closed my eyes. And I said, you know, God, please, I don't know where you want me to go. I will go wherever you please. And you know, take me to your bosom. Those were my words exactly. And then he pulled the trigger. And I woke up in my bed, deathly calm, as you do after these experiences. These experiences, if they are really what they are, you will never wake alarmed. Okay? You will be deathly calm and, well, at least for me anyway, and very calculated. You'll be getting around like you're not yourself. You're so calculated, and it's like you're measuring up every area of space in your home as you walk around. You know exactly how many millimeters to, you know, that wall or the leg of that coffee table, or, you know, you're constantly calculating wherever you go. Quite an unnatural feeling, and it takes a little bit to wear off, and you'll go and have a glass of water and you'll be quite fine with everything, and you'll go back to sleep, you know, and that'll be that. But you'll, when you get back up in the morning, you'll be quite exhausted because, of course, you haven't had any sleep,
yes.
You know, so by now it's sort of like, you know, 10 past four in the morning, you sleep for an hour and get up for work. And over time, and they play this longer and longer, they'll start pushing the time back where you start having experiences at, you know, 2200 hours all the way through to when you've got, and you know when you've got to get up for work and you're trying to fulfill these missions and you're just not getting any sleep. Okay, so, and they'll keep doing it. They won't let you alone and they'll be tweaking your body and you'll be, you know, on operating tables. They'll be doing this, they'll be doing that. And basically, just so everyone knows, it will go on for as long as you allow. It's the honest truth. And for those of you that believe you're powerless, that's, you're only powerless because you believe it. And, you know, that's a mindset thing. You know, that's a faith-based thing. When you have strong faith in something, and you can call it Jesus, God, Krishna, you can call it the source, the universe, call it whatever you want. But when you've got that strong faith and a power greater than you, and you believe you can pull that on your side, you'll get out of it. You'll get out of it because you'll be fed up, you'll be angry, and you'll be enough is enough. And you will become violent, and violence is good when you're dealing with these creatures. And like I've said before, you can say all you want about it's you've got to project love and all the rest of it. And oh, yes, they were confused and they moved away from me. That's not going to prevent them from coming back. Okay? It's not what they understand. And everyone's attracted to what they don't understand. They're just going to keep coming back. You know, so what else, James?
Just to clarify, I'm up to. Some of these experiences that you've just finished describing, were some of those like more military orientated, or were there some more reptilian, or was there a combination between the two? Okay. Did it vary?
All those ones were reptilian. So there's actually a military base not far from where I live. And you often hear them making their explosions and everything. They're always playing with their bombs and whatnot. And I've had heaps of the helicopters and stuff hanging over my house and all the rest of it. Now, my mother has two, I must say. And she lives, you know, 5 hours from me. And the difference between her and I is that she will hide from the helicopter. And I will go out there and look at them and put my hands out and say, "What do you want?" And then they'll leave.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like I said, you know, I've been lowered into my house out of them. I've gone to so many different bases and done all sorts of different things, you know. And this all came about because I was witness to my understanding of how it came about is I was witness to a meeting I wasn't supposed to be witness. I bore witness via remote viewing through another reptilian's eyes. It was a deal we made. He wanted me to see what was going on. But the person that was chairing the meeting, they were all reptilian, but the leader disguised himself as a human, and you can always tell the difference. So for those of you out there that are like, "Oh, you say you've been dealing with humans, how do you know they weren't reptilian?" It's very easy to tell the difference. You can tell by their eyes, and not by what their eyes look like, but by the type of resonance they emit. Any case, so he disguised himself as a human, and he recognized me behind this other rep's eyes, and that's where it started, because this was a key meeting, because he wasn't from here. He had landed here to impart information, and he didn't want them knowing where he came from, and I knew where he came from just by seeing him, and it was a bit of a big deal. And that might sound a little bit grandiose in that, but look, that's just what happened at the time. So in order for me to maintain my life, so they said, well, that was the deal. I had to undertake missions. The reptilian said to him, "Hey, she's valuable. She can do things. Let me show you and, you know, and I'll barter for her." So that's what he did. He traded me to do undertake missions so that, you know, I could keep my life and we could keep doing our thing together. And so I went on, yeah, heaps of them.
Does it seem to you that there are a number of individuals such as yourself that are tasked by the reptilians, at least that group of reptilians, to perform certain missions?
Yeah, so the ones that I was doing, I had a task force with me that I managed. And I remember I had this one Asian guy and the rest of them were white and they all didn't like him or trust him because he was Asian, you know. Humans, they're just, I don't know.
Asians need love too, folks.
I know.
Even from the reptilians. Anyway.
I know. Anyway, And they wanted me to shoot him and everything. And they said that, you know, he was working against us. He was a mole and all the rest of it. And I had to seriously consider it because you must always listen to your people. Anyway, so his role was to go and get all the data history on any person that I was to knock off. Where we were going forward in the time loop. And when you go forward in the time loop, it's quite funny. You don't use any of the modern technology. You use older technology than what we have now in our current point in the loop. And it just makes it that much more difficult for anyone to trace. They don't know where we came from. Like if we went over now with the technology we have now, right, it'd be easier to trace where we've come from and potentially who's done it, yeah? But when you're using older technology, like technology from the early 90s or late 80s or whatever, you know, so that's what we would do. And he would give me printouts on all the info and then I would take a look at the target and, you know, make my determinations based on that. And I found him, to be honest, I found him, you know, to be a good team player. And I told them all in his presence that my decision was that he should live. And that was final. And we finished undertaking the mission together. But, you know, I haven't seen any of these people since. Sometimes I look at someone and I wonder, but I never say anything to them because if they don't remember now, I certainly don't want to bring it up for them.
The people you were being briefed about by this Asian guy and perhaps others that were targets, did there seem to be a commonality amongst them, or did their backgrounds vary, these targets? Were some like heads of industry, some media people, some people were maybe just, you wouldn't notice them on the street?
A mix of all. And generally, but the one thing they had in common is that they were very powerful, okay? And they all seem to, there's a particular ship that gets around. You know how you have those P&O cruises?
Yes.
Well, there is such a ship only for these particular types of people. And they all have their own thing going and they travel around on this ship. And it was my job to transport to that ship and rid myself of, you know, rid the place of these particular people because they were affecting situations at the time that were very, very, they were affecting situations now a couple of years ago. And we were basically changing the course of history in identifying and removing these targets. And when I was in there doing this, like they were so used to bullets flying around, you know, people would just like move over and dodge while they were still chewing on their meat. Do you know what I mean? Like I despised it. I thought it was disgusting. Just the smell of human stink and you know, their consumerism and indulgement. It was just, it was pretty insane, I got to say, pretty insane.
And these were people, these targets, were deemed by the reptilians to be some kind of hindrance or some kind of problem.
Yeah, definitely. Like the last guy that I did was a pedophile and known for it, and that's how he made his money. And he was very influential in American politics and in determining the leadership of that country. Okay? And that's why they wanted me to get rid of him. Because the way it was going, you know, if anyone ever wants to help anyone out with SRA and, you know, all that kind of stuff, I mean, he was, you know, but his time will come soon and forward in the loop. But getting rid of him forward in the loop, it's like reverse engineering and it changes everything backwards. The dominoes fall backwards, yeah? Yeah, so I was going to try and steer the conversation away from there slightly because I didn't want to go into any more sort of detail about that particular situation. But all of the individuals, they were those kinds of beings.
Yeah, and just, you know, keeping it in generalities, would there have to be coordination between, say, the reptilian group that you were working for that was tasking you and other operatives to do these things? Did they have to coordinate their activities with other reptilian groups, or do they try to pull off these ops without other groups knowing? Do you know?
Yeah,
how
we
that
pull
worked?
Them off without them. Yeah, we pull them off without them knowing, because you can't afford for anybody to know that. Like the reason the reps gave me the Asian guy was because so that I would never have to worry that they were duping me on the types of people I was knocking off.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because it's a trust issue, and this guy is an innocent. Do you know what I'm saying? And he proved his worth and he proved his innocence, and he was obtaining the information through his own ingenious means. He was a weapon with technology and computer systems and all that kind of stuff. And he was amazing. And so that was the whole reason for it, was to make sure that, you know, they didn't know.
Yeah, because the last thing I guess they would want is to create some kind of conflict with some other group, maybe a group that was an ally, a tenuous ally, or maybe even a bitter enemy. The last thing they wanted to do was leave a footprint. Now, as far as the individuals you work with, like this Asian guy, was it strictly need to know as far as their backgrounds? Did you know where this guy came from?
No. Oh, okay. No. So it was completely, because the thing that I have and the reason that they wanted to utilize me was for my intuition. So once we get out in the field, they don't have anything to do with us. So I can choose to or choose not to on every single occasion. Okay, so we're given the task, all right? Then we go out there and we make our own investigations, because at the end of the day, they're also concerned. Does that make sense? They want to get the right ones. They're concerned as well, because there's so much mis and disinformation.
That's right. One always has to be mindful of, for example, a team is tasked with a hostage rescue. Is it really a hostage rescue, or is it a snatch raid? Are they going to? Is it a snatch raid? Are they there to kidnap somebody? You see, likewise, assassination. Are they there to knock off what they perceive to be, you know, a really ruthless, negative person, or is it someone that maybe shouldn't be knocked off? So one always has to use their intuition in these things.
So that's why I was hired. And then I was given, you know, these other people, and I was given my right hander, basically, you know, to help me make the decisions. And that's how we worked it. And they kind of had to trust my intuitive direction. That is, the reptilians had to trust that. But that's what they hired me to do. They hired me for that purpose, you know. So, you know, that was my experience with that, I guess. And, you know, there were several of those kinds of things. And yeah, there was lots of training and combat and all that kind of stuff. And you know, sometimes they would, when I'd been on a mission, they would come to location. One of the reps would come to location, and obviously it would be mine. He would come to location and I'd give him a brief on where we're at and my concerns or whatever. Yeah, and all the equipment we would just, you know, leave there. We wouldn't take it back. You don't want to have any energetic trace, because a lot of these creatures understand energetic trace and how to follow it and where it comes from. So we just leave the stuff there. But
it's like an assassination with a shotgun. You just, you know, the hitmen just leave the shotgun right there at the crime scene.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, if you know, they were wearing gloves and whatnot, there's nothing that could be traced back. Now, when you refer to the time loops, I take it you mean that some of these ops, at least, were not necessarily in our particular present moment. They were either, you know, in the past or in the future.
Never in the past, only in the future. A lot of people think you have to go back to the past to change things, but it's actually reversed to that, and that's disinformation in itself. But you've got to go into the future, and then you can change it from there. And I know that might sound bizarre, because so far as we know, only the now exists. But you've got to remember that, you know, other beings have a different understanding of what this is, and it's more like a computer-generated virtual reality game, right? So you can go back and forth as you see fit. So just because you've only passed, you know, game three of a 40-stage game, you're like, okay, so the stage three done, and you have so many credits, right? It doesn't mean that the operator of the software can't interject at game, you know, 27 and put you in there, so long as they've downloaded the skills required for that level. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that's how we're approaching it. That's how we're looking at it. So when you're in now, in this part of the time loop, yes, be in the now and all the rest of it and everything, because really your life is this stage. You're in stage three or whatever stage you're in. So that's your life expectancy, is that stage. But if you want to start jumping, then you've got to change the way you look at the universe and how it's created. But that's the wonderful thing about it, I suppose.
Now, when you do go in these future ops, Are you, I mean, do you appear the way you do, or at times do they put your consciousness into someone else, a male or a
No,
female?
I appear the way I do. I have my own image of how I like to look, and we just run with that. It's quite funny. I always seem to be in green khaki pants, and I'll have a singlet top that's like skin color, beigey kind of thing or whatever it is, and some kind of shoes, and I'll always have my handgun, and sometimes a knife or whatever, and that's me. It's me set. It's always the same.
Now, there's so much talk, which I never took seriously, about disclosure these days. But when you do these future ops, is it pretty much still the same where there's no public disclosure about this non-human presence that basically controls everything? Are people on the surface, at least, your average person on the street, are they still operating under the illusion that humans are at the top of the food chain, that humans are running things?
I always kind of noticed that they'd become dumber.
Yeah.
Those particular guys I was knocking off, I mean, they're really aware, hey, and they knew the moment they set eyes on me where I'd come from and what I was there to do, I think it's just been like that all through the ages. You've got some that are in the mix and aware, and some that aren't, and they just don't have that. Like, that's not the life they've created. I mean, we create the lives we want, right? And I've created this, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I love being a part of all the different dimensions and the different creatures and all that kind of thing to a degree. It's got to be on my terms, though. That's if I'm not enjoying it, it's because it hasn't been on my terms. So I'm a stickler for that. It's got to be on my terms. But no, I didn't see that. They just weren't as smart. Like, they didn't. I mean, even though their technology was like more than we've got now, it wasn't that much more, if that makes sense. It was
Yes.
like take a look. Someone did a speech on this, and I can't remember who the guy was, but take a look how far out we've come in 100 years with transport. We were horse and cart, and now we've got driverless cars.
Yes.
In 100 years, we were running notes or carrier pigeons, and look at our phones and our communication systems now. 100 years ago, what did our schools look like? Exactly the way they do now. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
and this is the one thing that isn't changing, and this is the one thing that people need to wake up to, because we are not keeping up with everything that they're changing around us. We are being kept the same. We are being kept in the same knowledge and the same processes of determining, how to perceive our existence. Yeah. So that hasn't changed in 100 years.
Yeah, it's getting
Yeah.
worse because of the vaccinations, the programming in the schools with Common Core and the lobotomizing effect of the mainstream media and the mainstream entertainment industry.
We have choices, and people need to wake up to the fact that they have a choice. I don't have a television. I don't listen to the radio, right? And I turn my Wi-Fi off when I'm not using it. I lay on the ground and heal my body with the Earth's magnetic field, and sometimes if I haven't done that for a while, they come and do it for me. It happened about a month and a half ago, actually. I was in Sydney, in a hotel, and they said to me, I had to go through this whole like ritual preparation, and not ritual in the seedy sense. It's just like a process you go through to prepare your body for healing. And I lay down, and they taught me how to go into a deep sleep a long time ago because of teleportation. You have to be in a very deep state. So I did all that, and then I remember feeling all the odd sensation go through my body. And I became aware, and I thought, oh, they don't know I'm aware yet. I'll open my eyes to look at them because I've never looked at them like during this time before. And I opened my eyes, and the whole room was just bright white light, and saw these skinny little brown legs, but they're very tall. And then I was happy and pleased, and I just closed my eyes and went back to sleep because they were healing me. And I've since worked out what that feeling is, because like the same thing happens when I lay on the earth. My body starts twitching and carrying on because of the magnetic field healing me. And as you will probably know, it's strongest before 8 a.m. because, the air is still. So definitely jump on that bandwagon, guys. Heal yourselves. Lay on the ground. But yeah, so, there's so much knowledge that we all used to have that we've systematically, and people have done it. It's humans that have carried this out, that have killed off shamans and the great old leaders of the different nations and, you know, and races and all that kind of thing, to make sure that any of that sacred knowledge has disappeared, you know. And it's about getting it back, you know. That's for me, like, the most important thing. And but bringing it back in such a way that it doesn't sound like woo woo, you know.
Yes. Now, could you take us through the process of, you know, right before you embark on a mission, you know, what preparatory phases do you have to go through? Are you given what they call in the surface special ops world a warning order, like somewhere along the line you're cued into the fact that you're going to be used maybe that night, and then like later on in the evening, like, you know, describe the briefing phase to us, and then how they get you, you know, without, you know, giving away too much, how they get you to the right time and the right place and whatnot, and if you have to work strictly on your own, or are there times when maybe there's some kind of network involved that you may not interact with face to face but have kind of set things up for you, and then once you carry out the mission, the process of going back and how that all works.
Okay, so generally what happens is, yes, I would always know. Like I said, I don't really do this anymore because I've had enough. But I would always know when I was going, because you've got to remember, like in my situation, I've got the one rep that I've always been very close to, yeah? So, and I know what he feels like, and I know I understand him. So I would know during the day, usually around lunchtime, that's what I was preparing for. So, and I would take it upon myself to look after my body and do what was required to make sure that I took it easy for the rest of that day, to conserve energy and to create new energy, and make sure I was eating well and in such a way that my spiritual awareness would not be hampered throughout the night, because obviously you need to be completely, completely aware, yeah? One, to make it out alive, and two, to make sure you're not involved in anything that you shouldn't be. And, you know, and I mean, that's up for debate anyway, all on its own. But so, yeah, and then I would go through a particular routine that is unique to everyone. Everyone will have their own routine when they go to bed, and I would communicate with him, go to sleep and put myself into that deep state. And then I would be teleported or sometimes physically removed, depending. But usually they like to use teleportation, the reptilians, because they can. And then I would manifest, if you like, underground somewhere or in some base, usually in a room, in a facility, and they would, you know, want to be putting drugs or something in me, which, you know, they were never very successful with. And I would be able to avoid certain processes and sometimes. And then you'd go to the next level down or whatever and begin, and sometimes you might have to go to a facility and they'll give you information. Basically, usually you're left up to your own devices because nobody wants to be compromised. So that it's not like I'm going to get a swipe card to get in or anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got to find a way to get in. And that's because if you're a good creative problem solver, then they're going to want you, right? So I would have to creative problem solve my way into different, you know, buildings or facilities underground. And I would, it would usually be a case of me going out and finding, I do this in my life now, but, you know, before I deal with anyone, I will know so much about them. I will investigate the shit out of them. Do you know what I mean? Yes. And I would do the same thing. I would find someone that I could investigate and utilize, and then who I'd be most likely to bump into and when. And then I would go there, and there's a lot of intuition in this. And then, you know, and I would hand them some paperwork, you know, when they're coming through the barriers, and say, oh, hey, I've got this for you. And they'd be, you know, they'd be so happy about it or concerned about it or whatever. And they themselves would let me in because I was the messenger of important information. Do you know what I mean? So often that's how I would do it, and that I would get in there and get what information I needed, or see what the people were doing that I needed, or witness what it was that I needed to witness. And usually it was just a case of making my way back out to a certain location, and then I would be transported. And that's not always clear. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So obviously the mission I undertook would be clear because they want me to remember that information. But as for the rest, it's often a little bit here, there, and everywhere as to how I got there and how they got me back. But usually it's via teleportation from my home to the location, and then it's via vehicle of some sort from location to location.
And when you get to the place where you're to carry out the mission, suddenly you come into an awareness, oh, here I am, and you just
This is
have
what I
all
got
the
to do.
data and all the information or and the faces of the people in your mind immediately.
Sometimes I've had to go back. Like one time I turned up to a facility and I was like, oh shit. I hadn't brought the paperwork with me. So I had to go back. I had to race back, to the vehicle and go back and get the paperwork and then go back and do it again. So, because I just, because it's a process and your body's going through a lot and you forget stuff sometimes, But, it's neither here nor there. These things sort of happen.
What are the things that they've done to you in the training while you were carrying out an op? You go, ah, now I know why they put me through my paces doing this, that, or the other. Was there anything that you've been put through training-wise which was applicable to what you were doing in the field?
Probably a lot of the escape scenarios, mostly. Yeah, there's a lot of escape scenarios that you go through. The signatures of who you can can't trust within the industry, there's certain mannerisms and certain physical behaviors give away certain establishments, and they don't necessarily know it. So learning all those kinds of things would really help. So like someone might be just being amazing to you, and you just they have a certain body language. It'll be a certain thing that they've learned. I might be triple or double checking something, or the way they put something on, or something like that, because most of these people are really heavily indoctrinated and they'll do something a specific way because that's what they've been taught. And you start to pick up on those little things. You're like, holy fuck, this person is going to put a bullet in my head, basically. So I got to, do you know what I mean? They're working with me, but they're not. Yeah. So that kind of stuff. And I remember on one operation, I had a guy that we had to be seen to be partners, and we did become really close, like as in male female partners. And I just remember getting into bed with him one night. We were in a facility, and he didn't feel right. He felt tense, and I waited, and we had our backs to each other. And at the same time, I know, what did I say? I just said to him, "Why have you got a gun under your pillow? You know I can do that too." And he just went so still. And then I could feel him. He was thinking, I've got to do it now or never. But we both spun around at the same time and basically put the guns to each other's head. Do you know what I mean? And he was so sorry. And he'd been tasked to eliminate me. And he ended up creating a distraction just with a simple glass of water, actually. And I was able to get out of the facility and get home. All those sorts of things that you go through. Unfortunately, it's a situation where you can't trust anyone, but you can know whether someone's trustworthy. Does that make sense? So you don't trust them, but you know whether or not they're trustworthy.
Yeah, it's even like that in the surface world where one just cannot even trust the people on their own team because they may have another tasking and maybe a job where after the task is done, they want to wipe the slate clean, and one person is tasked with wiping everybody else out, no traces, and all that.
Well,
Now,
the blessing of having been through what we've been through is that ours has been much more extreme. So I find the surface world games really easy to deal with. It's really not an issue. I don't even get involved half the time because it's just, I don't know, it's not worth the energy because I've had to give my energy to things that are worth so much more.
And I've even made a commentary in the recent past about, the clown show, which is what modern, if you want to call it that, MyLab space ops research has become. It's become a circus sideshow act, which, I don't even take a lot of those people seriously. I mean, someone like you I take seriously, and others I've known that have gone through similar ops, but a lot of the people out there making names for themselves, I just don't
I
take
really
seriously.
wonder. I really
Now,
wonder about them because there's certain signatures, there's certain situations, and I know you wanted to go on with something else there, but
no, please make the point. Go
there's
ahead.
something intuitively that you recognize in people, and I don't go and say that person's not for real, that person's not for real, because they'll show themselves, and I don't believe it's my place to judge that. But I stay well away from them, and if someone I care about is going to get mixed up with them, I'll I'll caution them because they have a mark. Do you know what I mean? Like, I might be marked by reptilians, if you like, but I'm also eternity. I'm the universe. And I know exactly what I've come from. I know the first body I ever had, and it's still waiting for me when I get back. So I know my role here on this planet, in this space, in this concept of time. I know exactly what it is, and I've taken part in so many different sort of dimensions with different creatures. So although, you know, I work with that particular species a lot, I am wholly and solely essence. But a lot of people that get caught up with this, they get caught up in them. Does that make sense? They get caught up in their idea of their image or their ego or whatever you want to call it.
It's a form of identity politics. It's a form of identification. Yes. Rather than seeing oneself as multiversal source manifesting in a variety of different guises throughout, you know, the different timelines, they see themselves as this, that, or the other kind of being. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, James.
Now, have you ever had experiences where you feel that perhaps maybe your consciousness had been put into a clone body, or let's say a clone of yourself, or perhaps the body that you were in at the time, i.e. yourself, maybe something happened to it, a grievous injury, maybe even death, but then they just kind of rolled your consciousness over to...
Yes.
Yeah, have you gone through that?
Yes, definitely. I went into a facility. It was underground. I was on the fourth level underground. I had to get to the one that I was just telling you about where I forgot the paperwork. I got into the facility. I was a 14-year-old girl. I went in, I went the fourth level down, and I remember coming down the stairs and all the piping and everything. And I remember the guy, they were all military personnel, and I was listening on the conversation. We were kind of chatting, but he wasn't really chatting to me. And I got found out, and they came up behind me and shot me in the back of the head. And, yeah, I remember that distinctly, and that was a different body. I was 14 years of age in that body, and I was a girl. And, yeah, no, definitely. But, you know, I woke up okay. There's a certain fatigue that your body will feel. See, when you aren't – it's like a splitting. So, okay. When you go through trauma – significant trauma, there's a piece of your soul that splits, if you like, and becomes removed. And that's and that happened to me when I was very little. And it wasn't sexual or anything like that. It was something else. But that happened. And when you get people that have had that happen, they're much easier to put into other bodies and things because they're already split. So they can leave a part of essence in your current body, I know this might sound fucking crazy. They can leave a part of essence in your current body, keep that body powered, okay, to a significant degree, because the other part of the essence that they're going to use and put into this other body needs to know where to go back home. So if they took all of your essence out, you can still power your body, but your essence might not know where to go back to. But when you're split, it looks for itself.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's the quantum entanglement aspect to it, where it's kind of a homing beacon. It knows where to go after the mission has been done. Yeah.
Yes. And so people that have been through that, that's why they so often they create alter egos out of people by creating trauma, because they get these splits, you see, and then they can use them in multiple facets. So that's what my understanding is of what happens. And, you know, I've never actually talked about this before, to be perfectly honest, and yet I know the answer. So it's really interesting to have that particular discussion with you, because that's not something I've discussed with anyone, but I know that that's what happens. And I recently reintegrated in the past week, to be perfectly honest. I reintegrated my essence, and I no longer have that split.
Well, congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. And now I know I can fully unleash myself upon the world and create wonderful, you know, healthy change. And I urge anyone to seek reintegration. Anyone that's going through these processes, that's been utilized in these scenarios, and who is taking part, remember, you are taking part, and learn what you can from it, rather than see it as a hateful experience.
Yes.
Learn what you can from it. get as much as you can out of it. If you're going to have the experience, get what you can out of it and see how much you can control. It's just like your dreamscape. See how much you can control and get yourself back, get your power back. But seek ultimately reintegration. The problem is that no one knows that that's what they're supposed to be seeking because no one knows that they're fundamentally split. And most people don't discover they were fundamentally split until they reintegrate. And that's how it was for me. Yeah. So, I mean, I recognize that I must have had some kind of split because of everything that I've been through and the knowledge that I have, but I didn't realize how so. Until you feel the reintegration, you don't realize how much of you was missing, if that makes sense. I believe that a lot of these people are called rebirthers. There's not many around anymore and certainly not good ones. And I'm certainly not going to recommend anyone because the person that did it for me doesn't do it anymore and is my personal mentor. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed that they did that. But you're seeking reintegration. Remember that. Think about that. Feel about that. And go back in your mind to when you were split. What was that significant trauma that you had that split you? Okay, and basically what they do is they take you through a process of going, okay, how did that child feel at the time? What was the child doing? What were all their different emotions? And then, okay, knowing what you know now, what would you tell that child as the adult you are now? Why they're feeling those emotions? Why that's being done to them? What would your adult say about the person that's doing it? Why are they doing it? And help your child understand. And then you're able to accept your child back home, but you've got to reintegrate. So a lot of people make the mistake of saying, oh, yes, now your little girl or your little boy has come back home now and is going to be taking some time out and resting. And then you're left like that wondering when, but that's not a complete reintegration. It's very dangerous, and that's why you have to get the right person doing it. You're seeking reintegration the moment that you're able to tell that little girl or boy why it happened and why they're feeling the way they are and have that little boy or girl lose all guilt and realize that it had nothing to do with them and that they were actually very brave. And when you get that yummy, amazing feeling of joy and love, know then that you have come home to yourself and you are whole. If I can tell anyone anything, if they try and go through this process with someone and they leave them without being fully integrated, that's what it is. Okay. So it's not the completing of a circuit. Okay. Cause a lot of people try and make you complete a circuit. So, oh, there's a hole in the circle. Now the circle is joining. No, because what happens when you complete a circuit, James, you keep going in circles. Yeah.
It's just a loop.
That's right. So what we're doing is we're coming home and then we're traveling on. Okay, and I hope people can understand that. And if anybody doesn't understand that, I want you to contact me, and I want you to talk to me about it. And I've had several people contact me from the interviews that you've put out, and I've worked with them, James. And I appreciate that opportunity to help people because this is really important. If you're going through all these experiences, don't be a hater.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to learn so much from it. But you've got to take control and you've got to find a way to take control. And it starts with understanding yourself. So there's your essence, but you also got to understand the body that you're in. What kind of biological software are you running? Because the deep ops, the reps, they all know it. They know you so well, better than you know yourself. So you need to understand all of that so they can't trigger you because that's what they're relying on, triggers, and the fact that you're split. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating first half, and we've got so much more with Sashita for her to share in the second half. And we'll have all of Sashita's information, as I stated earlier, on our website and our dedicated YouTube channel. For our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour.